Excellent. Okay. Good evening and welcome to Think Rant Podcast. Today is the 15th of December 2011 and I'm John Stabler, your host. With me, back from Germany, from the Fluffer Awards, Stephen Brett.
Guten Abend.
And as usual, Trevor J. Williams.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, that's it.
Good stuff.
Excellent interview.
Oh, can I just say it's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you both for your kind words last week. You know,
You didn't listen.
Carl Pilkington is here. He is back. And you're right, the podcast wasn't funny without me. So, you know, I'm here to actually make it great again. So, thanks, guys.
Cool.
There you go. You listened back to it as well then, Trev, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay then. Right. Oh, hang on, I'll do the announcements, get them out of the way. You can listen to previous episodes by going to iTunes. You can visit our blog, thinkrant.blogspot.com, and click on Audio Archive and download them from there. You may also every so often find someone ranting on there, but we haven't done any of that for a while, have we?
No.
No.
Not so much.
You can get in contact with us if you want. You can email us, info@thinkrant.co.uk. You can tweet us, @thinkrant. Or you can search for us on Facebook, and we got a group on there. So this is a weekly podcast, and every week, once it's done, I upload it in its raw format.
There's a reason, podcast listeners, that there's a reason John doesn't edit these podcasts. Steve and I were with him when he bought the audio software to edit them. It was a simple proprietary package. It worked only on PCs and not on the Mac. But then Steve took us into an Apple store. Now, John knew if they saw his podcast editing suite, they would force him to upgrade to some glitchy Mac-compatible piece of crap, and he was damned if he was going to let some greasy Apple head get his hands on it, so he hid it. And the only place he could, up his ass. John hid this uncomfortable hunk of software up his ass for 5 whole minutes before he passed out. It fell out of his ass in broken, shit-covered pieces of wretched, foul-smelling, useless audio software. Swept up and taken away by a staff member, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is why John does not use podcast editing software, and also how version 10.1 of iTunes was born. There you go, bit of Apple bashing, bit of Pulp Fiction. Yeah. And a crap.
Did you get the reference there, Steve?
No, I didn't, actually, because I haven't seen Pulp Fiction.
Don't upset.
I like Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction's a great film, Trent. Calm down. I just haven't got around to seeing it.
Last week, John saying he hasn't seen.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it and okay. I enjoyed it. It's okay.
Well, I said that I didn't like it, and I said I hadn't seen.
I tell you, a film that I really can't stand and I don't like, I don't get the hype over, is The Usual Suspect.
What? That film is awesome.
That is just, it's just rubbish, it's boring.
It's one of the best films ever made.
Nonsense.
Oh no, go away.
Nonsense, it's just rubbish.
Right.
Did you not get a gorgeous tingle when you see, well, I won't say what happens at the end for people who haven't seen it yet. I know it's a very old film. Yeah,
keep you tingling to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I might have a private tingle over that, watching it later. Oh, bastard.
I can edit
You got to edit that. You got to get over the horrible trauma.
Yeah, but Trev John doesn't edit the podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you the kind of horrible trauma he has to face every time he has to edit, and now you're putting him through that.
Good.
You've got to edit that out. That's terrible.
It's going out. It's going out. And I'm going to move on to the first story of the week, if you don't mind. It's going to be a quick one. You've probably seen this. Saudi woman beheaded for sorcery.
No, I missed that one.
Good Lord, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, a Saudi woman was beheaded on Monday after being convicted of practicing sorcery, which is banned in the ultra-conservative kingdom. Why am I not surprised?
And also the laws of physics.
Yeah, also.
When's Sally Morgan doing a tour of...
interesting, Saudi Arabia, yeah. But you wouldn't know it was her, you know, because they'd probably make a cover-up, wouldn't they? So.
Oh, no, she can do a tour in Saudi America, because allegedly there may be some people, you know, feeding her story through microphones from a back room, so there's no sorcery involved.
Okay. Sorry, did you say allegedly, Steve?
No, I didn't.
We're small fry. We can leave that in. And it doesn't bother me because it's not me. Okay, so that's it. But I'd just like to point out 73 executions in Saudi Arabia so far this year. Mm. So
that's very sad. And it's you know, jokingly about Sally Morgan saying, you know, about being proven. But there's a serious point in that, what has convinced the Saudi authorities that these women are capable of any form of witchcraft or sorcery. Anyway, what is their evidence? What is their proof?
Interesting, because obviously that wouldn't go down in a British courtroom. Seems as the British justice system doesn't accept spectral evidence. So, by definition, doesn't that mean that it doesn't believe in witchcraft? I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's prepared to. You just have to prove it.
No, sure. Well, yeah, but if they don't accept spectral evidence, then how can you? There you go.
I think your marrying of the words spectral and evidence is sarcastic at best.
Sorry, it's not my term. That's you know. So I just thought I'd mention that because
I do think that is a wider point though. Is, you know, did it say in the article what the conditions were, how they'd proven that she was a sorcerer, or
no, none of those information. You know, they just.
It was a woman, so they chopped her head off, yeah, basically.
Yeah, they just wanted to make it known that if you're a sorceress, the punishment is death. They weren't too busy and, you know, weren't too fussed on actually explaining what it was that she did. I don't know. These kind of stories just shock me, so.
Quite rightly so.
Who's next?
Hey, well, I'd like to follow up something from last week.
Go on.
We covered Geraldine McClellan's death and her kind of open letter about the cowardice of UK politicians refusing to deal with assisted suicide.
Right, yeah.
And we're just covering it to try and keep the story alive, and we're going to see just how well the UK media hung on to the story and any publicity it gave. The last mention I can find of it was on the 9th of December. So, like, a day and a half it lasted. And the last mention that I can find is in the Mail, where some, I'm not going to say that the man who wrote it, George Pitcher, is a tosspot, but he was certainly saying some tosspotty things and some tosspotty opinions in a dreadful opinion piece. Oh, the whole thing's just dreadful. But one of the things he says is her letter is wrong in two central points. Firstly, she did not have to travel to Switzerland to die peacefully surrounded by her friends and family. We have world-leading palliative care, which could have ensured her death was comfortable. But if she did choose to take her own life, and I for one believe every suicide is a dreadful failure of our society, then that act has been legal since 1961. It is assisting someone to die, which for reasons of protecting the most vulnerable people among us, is illegal. Actually, he says witch is illegal. He uses the word witch twice in a sentence, which shows he's barely literate. And he says it's been debated in the Commons four times in recent years, and it's been defeated every time. That's not cowardice, it's democracy. He doesn't mention pandering to the electorate, about lobbying, about religious pressure, and deciding not to deal with any of these issues, because democracy is always simple and right, rather than the least shit method that we have available. He continues, if dignity in dying affirms that people should be helped to die when they can no longer negotiate a cab, then that is plain wicked. They're saying, we agree with you that your life is not worth living. And his take on that is, your life is infinitely precious and is of equal value to anyone alive. Right, the Dignity in Dying movement doesn't make a single judgment on anybody else's life or their decision. If you feel you can't cope and want to end your life with dignity, then they feel it should be an option in this country. Him saying suicide isn't a legal jump off a bridge isn't an answer. And your life is infinitely precious is a judgment, and it's somebody else's.
Yeah, but
like I said, I'm not going to say the man's a rampaging twat, but he talks like and has the opinions of a rampaging twat. Yeah. That is no doubt.
I mean, Trev, you could go and jump off a bridge. Sure, of course you could. But actually, I if I had to make a choice to die for whatever reason, then I'd much rather it be done under medical conditions in you know, the most humane way, really, to be honest with you.
And not being funny, if you got motor neuron disease, you're not going to get that wheelchair over
the railings anyway, exactly.
So, and if you want your friends and family with you, it's going to be a very painful business.
Well, having them all stood on the what they do, they score you when you dive off the bridge or what? You know? How is that going to help your passing,
Exactly,
you look happy, oh, mum's giving me a perfect 10, brilliant, I'm out, you know? It's ridiculous. I mean, sure, yes, you can commit suicide, and you know that isn't illegal anymore to attempt to commit suicide. But you know, we've spoken about this before. It's just I think there is something twisted in a society whereby you can put down an animal because it's going to be suffering and it's going to be in pain,
and it's considered the right thing.
And
to
it's
do.
Considered the right thing to do. But somebody who is, for whatever reason, being worn down by the same pain in life and as a human being, cannot make that decision themselves to end their pain and their suffering.
Well, there is a further... it is. There's an extra little bit that I discovered to this story. I did a Google search for Sky Poll assisted suicide and limited it to the last week, because on the Sky website, there was a poll, which you can still vote on, in fact, which asks if you want assisted suicide in Britain. And it's got an 86% yes vote.
Wow.
And on that Google search that I did, the top five of them were about this poll. Two of them were Sky pages, including the one that had the poll on it. The other three were all sites calling for anti-choicers to skew the figures. There was no similar call from the sensible side of the argument on the first page. And I didn't look past the first page. There might have been more further on. But in the top five, there was Sky twice, and the other three were blogs and pressure groups, including one that calls itself Pro-Life. And they're all saying, quick, go on and vote. It's at 86%. We've got to do something. And it's still at 86% today.
Well, that kind of fills you with a bit of hope, really, doesn't it?
It does. That really does.
Yeah, but that's
well done,
not translating into, you know, Parliament and our democratic world, is it, you know?
Well, it's just nice to know that Feringula is the only good way to, you know, trash a poll. They're the only ones who are able to do it.
Cool. But yeah, nobody needed to. This is without pressure from, secularists or whichever pressure group you think is in favour of assisted suicide. We didn't need to do it.
Cool. Have you found anything yet, Steve, or can I keep on going?
Well, the thing I wanted to add on this topic, because I literally had just read a story about assisted dying earlier this season, and I can't find the story again, though. I had thought it was on the... on the Daily Mail site, but it wasn't. Apparently, there's some kind of loophole in Scottish law whereby it's not illegal to assist somebody in suicide, but I'm trying to find the story and I can't, so I can't really reference it properly. But yeah, basically it was along the lines of that it's been pointed out to Holyrood officials, and it's up to them if they want to sort it out or not. But apparently it gave the impression, from what I read, that you can't be prosecuted for assisting somebody to die in Scotland.
Wow, that's amazing, because at the moment, if you want to go to Dignitas, you've got to put in all the work beforehand and then spend a couple of grand taking you and somebody else. Yeah. You've got to run up a massive credit card bill. But if all you need to do is get a train ticket to Scotland, oh, I see the flaw in my plan. But it's not 10 grand anyway.
No.
Ridiculously expensive, I'm sure, but that would be fantastic.
Yes, but sorry, I can't find the story. So if I can find it, I'll reference it later on. But at the moment, I can't get.
Maybe it. Steve dreamt it. Hopefully not.
No. It was just this evening that I just read it. So,
but okay. To be fair, if I was going to spend my last hours somewhere, Scotland's probably last on the list.
Oh, and there go our Scottish listeners. Bye-bye. It was lovely having you.
It wasn't even me this week. I'm actually joking because I'd love to go to Scotland. I want to go there for the fringe, but it depends. Glasgow.
But you dare not go there now you said that.
Glasgow, not so much. Edinburgh, maybe. Devon woman jailed for 168 days for killing kitten in microwave. This is the story. Gina Robbins, who put the pet in the oven after falling out with its owner, and she showed little remorse, says the magistrate. So she had an argument with a friend, so she took her friend's kitten, put it in the microwave, and her friend heard some strange popping and screaming sounds and came to find dead kitten.
That's actually bloody sick.
It is pretty sick.
It is, and cruelty to animals is a sign of psychopathic behaviour.
I completely agree. That's very interesting that, not being funny, but I would argue that kittens or cats are almost like naturally selected to look cute, so we'll love them. And, as far as cuteness goes, I think kittens have got to be in the top five, yeah?
Yeah, I'm not a big cat lover, but I would agree with you on that.
I mean, Puss in Boots, cute as hell. But how could you put one of them in a microwave? I mean, you must be seriously detached from, any emotional ability. But, so she's going to jail, good. But I just wanted to say, Gina Robbins, fuck you. There you are. I just wanted to add that in. But if she's a psychopath, she won't care what I say at all, or anyone else.
Yes. But at least we've got a sign of that. For me, I really don't care about cats. Sorry.
That's all right. As long as you're not going to microwave
it. No. And I think it's the cat's fault. The way that they just don't care what you think of them. So.
They're also in the nonchalant top five as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's the sign that there is something clearly wrong in somebody's head. That they would do something so cruel to another living creature.
Okay, before we continue, should we just get Spot the Fake out the way?
Yeah, let's do it.
Out the way? Come on.
Sorry, I've just been I've been having pressure off people that I need to get it in early in the podcast.
Was that so the job earlier, is it?
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound very enthused about it. Is this another shit one? Or is this a good one?
I never said it was shit. I just said it's not the best one. I like this one, okay, obviously. I think, personally, that this is the best one.
He's just saying that.
However...
I could tell that was... You're dragging towards the end of that sentence.
You may disagree. I don't want to build it up, because you might just say, John, that's shit, and, but, okay. Here we go.
Pretty much guaranteed now.
Bear with me. Story number one, UK news. Richard Phillips was found trapped on Tuesday under chunks of ceiling and 150 boxes loaded with old magazines. Firemen formed a chain and spent 45 minutes removing the boxes and rubble from his home in Goldhanger, Essex. The 77-year-old retired quantity surveyor escaped unhurt despite spending the entire night under the debris. The grandfather of five was found by his neighbour, Ton Piercy, 72, who said the rafters basically gave way under the weight of all those magazines. If one of the ceiling beams landed on his head, it could have killed him. The boxes were a collection of titles Mr. Phillips had managed to keep on adding to over a 10-year period. Ian Smith from Essex Fire Service has warned locals to be careful about what they put in their lofts and do not overload it. Story number two. European news. A Bulgarian family has been collectively sued in what is one of the most expensive civil cases in the history of the country. Nina Dobrev, a 23-year-old waitress, claims that one of three triplet Paskaleva brothers is the biological father of a six-month-old child and is seeking maintenance through the courts. This is in spite of the fact that a state claim against one of the brothers has collapsed. The story has piqued the public's interest not because she's not sure of the identity of the father, but because she is not sure which brother's sperm fertilised the egg. Bear with me. DNA test results have been inconclusive in identifying the father beyond reasonable doubt, and a media circus has developed around the circumstances in which conception took place. Although not confirmed, sources placed close to the young woman claim that she engaged in sexual intercourse with all three brothers, one time each, on the same night, and that she was fully aware of each one's identity. And story number three... Chinese news. Zhang Nan was bathing in live eels to cleanse his skin when one rogue serpent took a liking to his manhood. The eel treatment in question is a similar concept to the popular London spas that offer fish pedicures. Thinking that the eels would make him look 10 years younger, Nan dived into the water and let them feast upon layers of dead skin. But after laying in the spa bath, Nan felt a sharp pain and realized a small eel was working its way up his urethra and into his bladder. I climbed into the bath and I could feel the eels nibbling my body, but suddenly I felt a severe pain and realized a small eel had gone into the end of my penis, the 56-year-old said. I tried to hold it and take it out, but the eel was too slippery to be held and it disappeared up my penis. Rushing himself to hospital, the man underwent a 3-hour operation to remove the 6-inch eel, which was dead by the time doctors found it. Surgeon Jin Wang said that because of the eel's slippery nature, don't make me laugh, it was able to make a smooth entry into the genitals of Nan.
Made up a racist story. Oh, no.
The diameter of the urethra in a man's penis is just a little narrow, but because the eels are quite slippery, its body worked as a lubricant, and so it got into the penis smoothly, he said. Okay, guys. So, 3 stories.
What was the doctor's name again?
Jin Wang. Okay, so here we go. Is it the first one? Man nearly killed by 150 boxes of magazines through a ceiling. Number 2. A Bulgarian gangbang. Number 3. I can't even think of a fucking title. Right, so whose turn is it to go first?
I do believe it's Trevor's turn.
Okay, Trev.
Righto. Okay, there were a couple of suspicious sounding things in the first story, but the fact that you didn't, if you had made it up, you would have told us what those magazines were.
And that's what I was thinking, Trev.
Yeah. So that one's got
they
to
would
be
they would have been jazz mags, wouldn't they? Let's not beat around the bush. It would have been like, you know, 50 years worth of Men Only or something.
Well, you know, maybe I just didn't want, you know, if I said that, I would
have you put smut into everything else.
Okay, so, all right. Okay, the first one's, all right. You're saying the first one's true, fine.
Okay, so that leaves us with the weird Bulgarian 3 brothers in 1 night thing, which is just a bit creepy, but, you know, it's sort of Jeremy Kyle in Bulgaria, sure. I can believe that. I don't want the third one to be true. I don't want to hear true stories of animals going up urethras. Nothing goes up. It's just not happening. That's wrong. But if you did make it up, you called the doctor Wang. And that means, oh, John.
What?
Yeah, I'm saying the last one was made up.
Now, you see, Trev, my initial thought, when he was reading out the first story to us, I was like, yeah, this is the made-up story. This has got to be made up. Because I was expecting him at any time to say, you know, it was 10 years worth of jazz mags.
Yeah.
At any time, I was expecting that to come in. So when he didn't, I was kind of thinking, no, actually, maybe that's true, because he hasn't lowered the tone and made it smutty in any way.
And now you're thinking double bluff?
Now I'm thinking double bluff, yeah. Because, I mean, it would be a very happy coincidence if the doctor was called Wang, however. But it just, in that very sort of Austin Powers kind of way. The story about the triplets, you see, now, you know, DNA evidence would be inconclusive, wouldn't it, as who the father was. I don't know. I want the eel story to be false because it's just horrific. And I pity the poor man. And I'm really wanting to say that it's false, but that Bulgarian story, you know, it's just...
So you're not going to go for a full body eel bath anytime soon now?
No. It wasn't on the list of priorities anyway, John.
All right, but you know how it is. You go to one of these, you know...
foreign countries, you think, hey, come on, let's just do what the locals are doing.
You do crazy things, don't you?
Yeah. It looks like fun. Let's give it a go. It doesn't sound like fun, though. But I'm going to go with, and agree with Trevor, and go with that. and I'm going to show solidarity and say that it is.
You're both trying to take points off me again this week.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that it is fishy.
Eel. Yeah. Okay. Right, so you're both gone for the third story, so I'm going to just do them in order. Richard Phillips, trapped by magazines through the ceiling, is a true story. And I left the magazine out because it was Yachting Monthly. But I still think having 150 boxes of Yachting Monthly, you know, it requires help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But it would have been Mac Users Weekly or something like that if you had made it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Second story, Bulgarian family. I made it up.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I made that story up.
Oh, no. That means that actually happened.
That means it's a Dr. Wang, and
it means, first of all, importantly, there is a doctor called Jin Wang, so I was not racist at all. But if I had made the story up, I would have used a racist
Dr. Wang.
It's not. What happened was, I was looking at this story and I thought, "Oh, this story's quite good because, you know, it's got that cringe factor with the eel and the And as soon as I saw Jin Wang, I was like, "Shit, I got to use this. It's the best double bluff I've ever done." So, thanks very much, guys, for falling for it.
Got it.
Hey, you're welcome, John. We're just here to make you look great. Don't forget it.
Okay, so I'll let someone else have a go now.
Well, no. Let's tell this is about the great present I brought you back from Germany.
Yes, this is true. Stephen...
Because it can be a nice segue then for Trev's piece, can't it?
It can be a nice segue. Stephen went to... tell us about your trip to Germany.
Well, I went to Cologne last week to go to the Christmas markets to, you know... Hopefully go and
hang on, hang on. The Fluffer convention was in Berlin.
Sorry, the Fluffer... No, I went to Cologne, in actual fact, at the Christmas market, in the hope of buying John's son a nice handcrafted present, better than the book that I bought him for his birthday, which his grandfather, rather amusingly.
This is a great story, because... it was after his birthday party, which unfortunately Trev couldn't come to because you were poorly. You feeling better now, Trev?
Oh,
you're
God.
All yeah, 100% better.
Don't make me remember.
All right. And what happened was we brought all the presents home. We didn't open them at the party, so we started. Amy started opening them, and
I think I know the book you got him.
Bought him a book, and which he, you know, we brought in the living room, and then
he quite liked it. I thought,
yeah, we were looking
at it.
Was it
the one that there's an audio version that Sam Jackson does?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, sorry. But it was just it was a book that makes noise.
Book. It makes noises. It's brightly coloured,
touchy feely thing. Right. You know, it's for little babies. And of course, my father-in-law Ted was there, basically saying, "Look at this book." He was basically saying, "This book is a pile of shit. Who the fuck bought this piece of shit?"
And it was me.
And it was Steve who was sat right next to him. And Steve sheepishly said, "Yeah, that's my present." And
come on, I was after I'd, you know, played along for quite a while.
We did play along. I just laughed, but you know, because I'm. You know, I thought, well, you can't really diss people's presents, can you? What do you buy for a baby? I'd buy him a bloody bottle of Bailey's if I, you know.
I felt honour bound then to go out, you know, and try and buy something decent, you know, and handcrafted. So I thought I'd go all the way to Germany to do that. And so,
what'd you get?
Nothing. Because it was nothing there, which, you know, I thought immediately that'll pass Ted's muster. But I did see something in Cologne Cathedral.
Yes.
Which I thought would be absolutely ideal for Jonathan.
So you can't just go nicking religious artifacts out of cathedrals.
No, I paid for it.
And given. Alright, okay.
I paid for it. So it's all above board. It even came in its own little paper bag. So it was. I thought, you know, this will be good. It's in keeping. With you know.
So I know what it is, but it's in a bag, the lovely Cologne Cathedral, and then when I take it out, it's in German, so I don't understand, but I can tell you what it is. It is...
You can't open it up.
I can't open it now. It is Vatican Top Trumps.
No way!
Yes,
way.
That is excellent.
But more specifically, it's actually German bishops and dioceses, I believe.
Right.
With obviously the you know Emperor Palpatine himself.
Yes.
He's in there anyway.
He's A1. He's the top
Brilliant.
Trump.
Well, of course.
And I can't understand it. I'm going to translate it, and I'm going to create like a little database of it so that we can statistically analyze these and find out if there is anybody who does beat Pope Benedict at something.
Oh yeah, because I think it's like, you know, area of responsibility and how many churches within your area of responsibility.
I think this one here is number
date you were ordained and stuff like that.
Is this one here the number of Jews killed? 2,400,000
I think that's about right. Oh. Yeah.
So this is great. So next time I see you, Trev, I'm going to try and remember to bring these so we can play.
Brilliant.
Top Trumps, and what a great present! Thank you very much. And Steve was right to know that I'd be very excited by that gift. So there you go. So that can segue. You're quite right, Steve, into Trevor's Catholic story.
Brilliant. Okay. I did have a very kind of serious story, but I'm not going to spend much time on that because there's a better one afterwards. It was basically that Catholics doubt the British review that says no mental health abortion link. There was a meta-analysis a week or two ago showing that if women are in the situation of carrying an unwanted pregnancy, then going through with the birth or having an abortion tend to yield pretty much the same results in terms of distress and if you, you know, feel like you need help afterwards, that kind of thing. But of course the Catholics don't like that. Let's see. David Jones, director of a Catholic institute serving the church in the United Kingdom and Ireland, said researchers had used evidence selectively. He also pointed out in a December the 12th email to the Catholic News Service that the publication of the review came very soon after a meta-analysis of 22 studies published in the British Journal of Psychiatry that found that abortion increased the risk of a woman developing mental health problems by 81%. Yeah, but as opposed to what? That's my problem with it. Because the other option is going through with a birth you don't want. The point
well,
of the
shitty,
one that's just been released is
going through a birth you don't want is obviously not going to be any mental trauma to that at all. Where's the trauma in that, Trev? Come on now.
It's just that it was an article that didn't even acknowledge that such a thing would have a risk of developing mental health problems. Well, it's comparable, clearly. Deeply annoying. But better than that, on the Catholic News Service website, there's a review of a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
I bet this review is going to say, all you Catholic kids out there, go and watch this film. It's ideal for you, isn't it? That's what it's going to say. It's going to be a fun
well,
for all the family
listen
film.
Listen to the review and see if it makes you want to watch the film. Viewers of faith, beware. In its largely vain pursuit of laughs, the comedy sequel stoops not only to sexual excess, but to anti-Catholic animus and even blasphemy. The result is a consistently vulgar, intermittently loathsome insult to the holiday. The plot, such as it is, begins with reformed pothead Harold and unrepentant stoner Kumar accidentally burning down the former's family Christmas tree. Since the now married Harold's intimidating Hispanic father-in-law is a devotee of all things Yule and grew the destroyed stately fir himself, this sets off a frenzied but rambling quest for a replacement. Along the journey that follows, a secondary character is revealed to have a rendezvous with a teenage virgin named Mary, who ardently longs to be deflowered on Christmas Eve. Similarly, when the titular duo concocts a plot to steal a church's evergreen, their imagined scenario involves pornographic images of lesbian nuns as well as pedophile priests chasing choir boys. Another fantasy is set in heaven where a Playboy version of Jesus appears, accompanied by two topless angels.
I want to go
brilliant
see that
is
film.
That?
Oh my god. Hang on a second.
You get a classification of O, morally offensive. So if you're Catholic, you're not allowed to go see it. The film contains sacrilegious humour, graphic, non-marital, and aberrant sexual activity. Full nudity, a benign view of drug use, about a half dozen instances of profanity, and pervasive, rough and crude language.
Seriously, profanity?
Yeah.
Crikey. Not sure I want to go and see that, Trev.
I know.
Sounds like it might
isn't it terrifying?
Corrupt me.
Oh, I just can't believe the fuss they're getting into.
It's on, apparently, though, in the Vatican's private cinema.
Is that the one where you can actually sit in the jacuzzi with the half-naked women while you're watching the film?
That's right, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Oh, what? I still want to go there. Okay, I've got a quick story. News, unfortunately, I don't know if you've been following this, that the Welsh effort to get our own top-level domain, .cymru,
yeah,
looks like it's going to fail. Just to give you a bit of background on this, a working group was set up called .com, spelled .cym.
That went to Cayman Islands, though, didn't it?
C-Y-M. To create a strong application for top-level domain for Wales on the internet, and they wanted .cymru, which obviously is in Welsh. But obviously the Welsh government gets a say in this, and they apparently ended up being talked into letting Nominet do it. Now, Nominet handle .uk, like stuff like .co.uk, .org.uk, and they're not Welsh, they're English, and they're based in Oxford. And it looks like, it's not for certain yet, but it looks like basically they're going to get the contract for maintaining it. And because they're an English international company, they'll be looking to actually have .Wales instead of .Cymru. They may actually go for .Cymru, but obviously they're not going to manage it.
.Cymru.uk?
No, just .Cymru.
Okay.
Or .Wales. So they think it's going to be .Wales. So any feelings on this?
But if there's going to be a .Wales, why isn't there a .England?
Well,
because UK is the United Kingdom, that's all of us.
This is true. There may actually be a .England because there's already efforts to get a .London. So, yeah, I know where you're coming from, but no, I think that there will actually be a .England eventually. So, but your thoughts on the Welsh one? Do you have any, you know, particular favourite?
I'm going to be brutally honest with you and say I don't really care. To be honest with you, it's pointless. What benefit is it? I don't really see. As Trev said, we've got .co.uk. I'm happy with that.
But if you had a Welsh business,
that's accurate, isn't it?
You know, well, I'd still have .co.uk because I'd be a business out operating.
No, sure, but obviously we're starting to run out of .co. This is obviously a money making scheme anyway. But
money making for whom?
Well, Nominet now.
Well, yeah, exactly. So,
what? But that money could have gone to a Welsh company to manage.
To say that I don't care about this story, I don't think adequately expresses my disinterest with it.
I think
it's absolutely nothing, isn't it?
It rates up there, to be honest with you, for me, with this whole new concept of regional TV.
All right, okay.
Which I think is a complete and utter pointless waste of time. I don't really want local Cardiff TV. I'm quite happy having my regional Welsh broadcast, to be honest with you.
You're happy to ignore Wales Today rather than ignore Cardiff Today.
Exactly. What's happening, brah? Safe, innit? I just can't think. We're talking about central funding and, you know, money drying up. Who's going to pay for this? Where's the money coming from to set it up? You know, I'd rather that money being spent maybe, I don't know, on free education or maybe, you know, the National Health Service.
Or keeping sports on terrestrial.
Keeping sports on terrestrial telly. I really don't give a toss about having a local, regional, city-by-city TV service in trying to copy some kind of American model. America, it kind of works because America is such a vast country. It's huge. You know, and some of the local cities which have their own community news then are more isolated. But, you know, Cardiff...
It's not that much different to Newport, really.
No, exactly. You're half an hour down the road from Swansea. You're 15 minutes down the road from Newport. You're 40 minutes down the road from Bristol. Pointless waste of time and money.
Steve's rant for the week.
Hell yeah.
Well, really grind your gears there, really? Steve.
I just think, we keep getting told there's no money in the pot for this, there's no money in the pot for that. You know, we've got to be frugal, you know, we can't afford as a country to do this, and this, but we can afford to waste millions on setting up pointless... I mean, nobody watches S4C, for God's sake. What's the point of a local channel? Absolutely pointless.
There you go. You don't have anything to chip in, do you, Trev? Or have you...
Now, if I started on the whole,
I think it's a great idea.
The thing about, oh god, but whenever I start a conversation like this, usually with a sort of rabid, "What have the English ever done for us?" kind of a conversation, like I'm speaking to a Judean People's Front member.
Not the People's Front of Judea.
I end up taking. Sorry.
Not the People's Front of Judea.
Splitters. No. I always end up sounding like I'm hating the Welsh language. I don't know. How do you hate a language? That's ridiculous. But yeah, I think S4C is largely pointless.
Oh, and I a bit of a waste of money. I like S4C.
I have no.
But
have
you,
no
you can't encourage
with,
a.
I don't have a problem with S4C and Welsh broadcasting and broadcasting in Welsh. What I have is breaking that problem, is breaking that down even further and doing, okay, yes, maybe English language, but local broadcast. Wales has a television station in S4C. We have regional news and regional television provided for us, albeit, you know, sometimes not brilliantly, but still have it provided for us by the BBC and by ITV. It's just another level of just pointlessness, which we just don't need.
Fractal pointlessness.
Yes.
Okay. Go on, Trev. You got loads of stories to go, so go on.
Oh yeah. Well, we didn't mention last week Kepler 22b.
Oh.
Mainly because it had just been discovered.
Isn't that the planet Brian Cox discovered?
And they were all oh yeah, because he discovered everything. Oh, they did that as well this week. Oh, for God's sake!
He's so
but that's exactly why I didn't want to bring it up last week, because they discovered it. And have you seen? Have you guys all watched Elf before?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Oh man, your Christmas viewing is seriously lax. You've got to see Elf. It's excellent. There's a scene where he walks into the store, and the manager guy comes along and says, "Tomorrow Santa will be coming." And Buddy the Elf goes, "Santa! I know him! I know him!" And that's exactly what the media were like with this. They that's just put out a little thing saying, "We've made the second report of something with an Earth-like orbit in the Goldilocks zone." And they went, "It's Earth! Oh my God, it's another Earth! Do they have their own Jesus like ours, or are they using ours? What am I like there? Do I part my hair the same? Oh, I wonder what star signs they have." And then the media's going to calm down a little bit. They'll report this still remarkable fact, but with disappointment, and they'll say, "Oh, what a shit planet. It doesn't smell like Earth, it smells of beef and cheese."
Oh, that sounds like I'd like that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I love the problem that they have actually reporting it. The Earth, the 2.5 times sized Earth-like planet.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very Earth-like to me if it's 2.5
times
sized.
Crush us if we were on the surface of that, surely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They're doing the same thing now with the Higgs boson thing. They've mentioned that there are a couple of readings which suggest they may have found something, readings suggesting it. They haven't found it. But the media are coming out saying, "They found God and he lives in a particle! Oh my God, it's brilliant!" And then in about a week they'll say, "Oh yeah, maybe not."
I'm glad you brought this up, because I'll interject here very shortly, if I can. And sure. Say that I got another feature which I've been dying to do, and I can only do it now.
Well, it's on the inhabitable planet.
No, this is another podcast.
So there's one array
that's ripped off from somewhere else. But now we're looking at this is probably going to be the last podcast of 2011.
Sure. Got a holiday hiatus, right?
Have a little holiday. I may try and squeeze something in if I get bored.
But that's between you and your missus.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see what happens. But I'm just warning people. So I think it's time for our 2012 predictions.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, crikey.
Hang on, I didn't even think about next week, John. How can you expect me to think about next year? Someone will die.
Who?
Someone.
No, come on, because if you actually name them and they die, that makes you like a prophet. So
somebody called Dave is going to die next year.
No, it's got to be better than... Well, that's a good prophecy as far as biblical ones go, but you need to be... Go on, be a bit more specific. Go on, name someone who's going to die, and then you'll get so much kudos.
Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, perhaps a safe bet? I don't know.
Safe bet. Oh, yeah, both of them go
so
well.
That's your.
Oh, have you guys signed? There's a one of those e-petition things saying, please don't give Thatcher a state funeral.
I signed that years ago. That petition's been going on for ages.
All right. Okay.
But yeah,
I haven't seen it. I'll go and sign it.
Yeah, go on and sign.
Bury her in a coal mine.
Seeing as we are talking about the death of Thatcher.
So that's your
death. And normally I would say what a dreadful, morbid thing to be doing, but seeing as we're talking about it, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you got any other predictions?
They
can just be humorous. I thought that's what you were bringing this week, the humour.
I've already brought the humour. I've already, you know, raised it a notch. And, you know, I brought you those excellent cards as well, which, you know, provided, because of my amazing genius thought process, provided an amazing segue for Trev's feature this week as well. So, you know, that's what I
all right, so that's about. Your only prediction, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher's going to die, I think. France will win the Six Nations. I think Andy Murray won't win Wimbledon. Britain will do spectacularly terribly in the Olympics. And the opening game ceremony will be ridiculously parochial. And won't be much better than the opening of the Commonwealth Games where they had Morris Minors and Coronation Street.
Okay. Trev.
Okay. So no preparation whatsoever. Oh, I don't know. I bet at some point in the new year, Boots will bring out another bit of their Here Come the Girls adverts, this time saying that women's nostrils are really ugly and they should block them up with hummus. And they'll spell some special medicated hummus for that very purpose.
Trev, I take it you just want to record this bit later after giving it to me and then ask me to edit it in or something. Because he sounds genuinely disappointed that I've brought this up and he's not been able to actually prepare for it.
I did deliver that in a, look, that's all you're getting off me. So, kind of
but
a way.
What I would continue with as well, I think the Euro will fail. And I think the Condemn coalition will be over by June.
Okay. All right, so you got some good stuff in there, Steve. You know, that's you got a date for the Condemn. Time of year Maggie's going to go. Doesn't have to be a particular...
Hopefully January the 2nd. But but she's a cantankerous old bitch. She'll probably stay around at least until August.
Well, if you think about it, it's usually the cold weddy that offs the old
that's
biddies,
what I mean.
It?
That's why she's going to hang around until August, just to piss us all off.
Okay. Well, I was
going
to... Really
harsh got... words, guys, and if it were for anyone else, I would be really judgmental.
which would be fine, special Trev, case. And I'd have no problem with you being judgmental in those circumstances. However, it's not. It's Maggie.
I've got the... Well, my predictions are, you know that stupid thing about neutrinos faster than light?
Yes.
That'll be put to bed, finally. They'll find out where the measurement was wrong. I believe... I'm going to actually say that they're going to find out that the Higgs boson was a statistical anomaly. I'm going to throw that one out there. And famous dead person... Famous person who's going to die... I don't wish it on them, but I think it's going to happen. I'm going to go for David Jason.
Ooh.
Oh, great. That's good, because now we've got as many listeners as we have participants.
No, we haven't, because Steve doesn't listen to it every week.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's a good point. Steve, you have to listen.
So there you go.
Oh, Christ.
No, I said I didn't wish it on him, not like you
that's
and Maggie,
great.
But, you know, I'm just thinking, if it happens, I will be the next Messiah or something.
Who do you think is going to die, Trev?
Oh, Stephen Fry and Miranda Hart. Clearly.
What are you hoping?
No! I'm just trying to alienate as many people as possible.
Well, Stephen Fry will achieve that, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there. Not myself, because, you know, I don't wish any ill on Miranda Hart, despite the fact she's completely not funny. but I do think there's quite a few people out there who dislike her intensely.
Yeah,
because she's not funny.
I think I'm one of them.
So you think that there's going to be people after her? That's
possibly,
quite a bold statement.
Possibly.
Here's a question for you, Steve, just to take you back to your Maggie thing. Okay, yeah. Her death. Do you want it to be painful or not?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. In all fairness,
just death.
And in all fairness, I hope she doesn't die, because you know that's. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But at the end of the day, she's frail. She's old.
And they've made a movie about her now. So
and they've made a movie about her.
Nothing to cling on for anymore.
Exactly. So I think I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if she didn't make it through the year.
Okay, Trevor, have you got a story?
Yeah, sure. In I think it was yesterday on the Leveson Inquiry, they had Colin Myler, the former News of the World editor, giving some evidence. And he said that he found the culture at the News of the World when he arrived was very laddish and very male-dominated.
Really?
Yeah, there were 12 men and one woman in his office.
Let me guess, Mystic Meg.
I don't know exactly who. But the readership of the paper was 52% men and 48% women, he adds, for some bizarre reason. And he says that the product was very loutish and very laddish. As though a laddish culture excused any of the things going. And I have to say, fuck you to Myler on this one, somewhat ironically undercutting my own point, because being a bloke doesn't automatically make you an unethical, aggressive sack of shit. You know, they could have had open porn mags on their desks and screensavers of Gene Hunt. It still doesn't excuse cunty behaviour. It's that kind of behaviour just... You know, women are capable of behaving like that. Just because there aren't enough women around, you can't say, oh, you got to forgive us for behaving in the most dreadful way imaginable. There weren't enough girls around to keep us behaving nicely. I mean, the employment practices in News of the World were sexist, as well as seeking out turd-munching nihilists to perform unthinkable tasks, doesn't offer the slightest bit of mitigation, in my opinion. And he went on to employ more women. Big whoop. That just means he clearly thought women were as capable as men of performing revolting deeds.
But to be honest, he probably just hired them and stipulated that they better be good looking.
Good looking, big norks, and wear short skirts.
Yeah. So there you go. And so Trevor's
selling for the lads in the office.
Trevor's used up the one allocated C word usage of the podcast. Well done, Trev.
Hey. What happens if some other cunt says it?
It's usually Steve. So well done for okay. Steve, you know, getting in there before him.
Hey, there's about 10 minutes left. Surely you're going to cover the Guardian having Rhys Morgan again.
Well, to be honest,
friend of the podcast, he was the most popular story today on the website.
They were obviously just desperate for some filler, weren't they? Really? So you know,
slow news day. As
slow
I
news
say.
Day, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
come on, there's some great stuff in here.
Yeah, it was good. I thought the reporting was poor, though. I thought it was very. I don't think it got Rhys across, really. I think Rhys has a lot more interesting things to say than, you know, hi, I went to church, but it didn't really work out for me.
I play video games, I don't tell my mate about my online life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't mention the gimp suit either, you know, and there was no, the picture of
the
him.
The picture should clearly have been in his gimp suit.
Yeah. Anyone who knows Rhys, okay, knows that he's always wearing a gimp suit, okay, and the fact that there's a photo of him there, he's like those people that take their glasses off to have their picture taken, even though they wear glasses all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
but there's this brilliant, appalling little half a paragraph. It says, so why does this floppy-haired teenager bother?
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
Wouldn't it be less hassle to focus on becoming even better at Team Fortress 2? Or just kicking back and listening to his favourite bands, Muse and Radiohead?
Yeah,
I haven't heard his exact response to that, but he must have died. Oh, he must have been furious.
Yeah, well, I think he was happy that his face was on the front of the front page of the Guardian website, but
yeah,
you know, I'm just starting to get maybe a bit jealous of him now because, you know, to be honest, I got much more interesting things to say than him. But no one plays a pint. Oh, fuck it. I don't.
That's because you can't talk.
Can't say that.
I don't care.
Oh, he tweeted shortly after that. Oh yeah, now I'm going to get trolled for my music taste. At least I didn't tell him I like Glee. Wait, shit.
Yeah, now, not very funny. Radiohead were good, you know. They've done some good albums.
Okay Computer, yeah.
They've done some good albums. And there's nothing wrong with Muse whatsoever.
Not in the slightest.
So I don't know what he's on about, apart from, well, Glee. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah, he tries to say that in that kind of jocular way of, I don't really watch Glee, but he does.
Yeah.
He loves it, it's his favourite TV show.
That reminds me, next time I see him, I need to give him a wedgie for that. Okay, there is a story I wanted to bring up from something that we've done before, if you'll, you know, permit me.
Indulge you, yes.
Go
yes.
for it.
No problem.
The story is, do you remember we were talking about Julian Baggini and his...
Yeah.
And his search for real religion? So basically, he put these questions to some Christians and basically what he found out, right? This is shock now.
Really?
Listen to this: the myth that religion is more about practice than belief. Okay, that's what the headline is. So, listen to this: my own research shows that the vast majority of Christians appear to take the orthodox doctrine at face value. Wow. Listen to that fucking news. What he's saying is basically that people actually believe what they say they believe.
Yeah, who would have thought it?
Fuck yeah, can you Adam and Eve it?
That actually blows me away. That is that insightful.
Yeah.
It blows me away.
You know.
And his own research apparently quite easily extrapolates out into the entirety of Christianity.
This is true.
Wow. So how many people must he have asked all these questions?
I'll tell you, a sample of...
I would have thought it would have taken years. But...
767 churchgoers who came and filled in the survey on the website, and then 141 extra ones from Bristol. Although he doesn't mention why, he just decided to go to Bristol one day and ask 141 churchgoers. I'm also sceptical of the fact that there is 141 churchgoers in Bristol, because they're all out sacrificing goats on the hills, and we know it. So basically, go on.
And it was an online page that they went to and answered a load of questions. Mm. And the first question was, "Are you a churchgoer?" Well, nobody could have lied on that. Oh, brilliant! Well done. That's good evidence gathering.
It was robust. It was a robust sample.
But this sounds to me, and judging by some of the comments, that he was trying to defend some of his charges he's put up against Karen Armstrong. Have you heard of her, Trev?
No, actually.
Okay, she basically writes apologetics books, but she's so wimpish. She basically... Her assertion is that, it's all a straw man, this supernatural stuff. People go to church because it's a community, and because they want to be nice people and meet people and do stuff together. But what Julian found out, and this is the important bit, is apparently people go to church to worship God, not just have a cup of tea.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty groundbreaking, but. This doesn't seem to surprise us, but this does surprise a lot of other people.
Can I just ask, was my whoa Keanu Reeves enough there?
It was. That's quite good.
Was that okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. That's all right then. I've been working on that, so it's quite
cool. So, well, I don't really have much to say on that, apart from I can't believe so much time and effort has had to go into,
Well, we've already said it was a slow news week for The Guardian. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what's next? Headline. Beer gets you drunk. Or, you know... So, there you go. I've got nothing else to say on that. So, I just thought that we'd actually complete a story, not just talk about, you know...
Yeah, no, I like what you said there, John.
Yeah, cool. So, anyone... Go on, then. Anyone else?
I've got one thing I'd like to just mention. There was a front page in the Express this week that said diabetes death toll could be slashed in half. That's not a story. Not at all. A wide-ranging report was published that revealed that 24,000 diabetes sufferers are currently dying unnecessarily in the UK each year, and most of these early deaths could be avoided if sufferers got regular NHS checkups, ate healthy foods, cut down on alcohol, and took more exercise. And it's just the dullest thing. The last thing it ends with is a quote from somebody who says, "It's not rocket science. Integrated healthcare can help people manage their diabetes, stay well, and out of hospital." Not rocket science, thanks. Not patronising at all. It's basically a medical study concluding that type 2 diabetics are mostly lying about how well they follow the meds and the diet regime. And other studies recently showed, in fact, that a lot of type 2s can give up meds altogether if they follow diet and exercise. And of the remaining type 1s, like what I have got, of course those deaths are preventable. blood sugar levels are alterable with either food or insulin. So if one of those extremes caused a death, then it was, by definition, preventable. Yeah, but some of us have complicating factors, some of us have basic brittle control, and others go through periods of unpredictability. Some of us will die because of them. At least the article mentions the distinction between one and two, but it does leave a conclusion of diabetics are lying or thick, which is a little annoying for a front page.
Well, on that subject, actually, Trev, I noticed a little debate you were involved in on Facebook the other day. Type 3 and 4 diabetes?
Yes. Very annoying.
I just wondered if you know had anything to you know illuminate us with on that subject.
Sure, there's a thing they're trying to call this particular condition type 3 diabetes. It's asinine. It's not a type of diabetes. There are enough distinctions between type 1 and type 2 as it is, but they basically cause high blood sugar. The type 3 that they're talking about is something that causes low blood sugar in the brain, and it's got a link to dementia. Now, if they're going to call it a different type of another disease, they should call it hypoglycemia type 2. Because although hypoglycemia refers to something a diabetic can have if we have too much insulin or not enough food, there's also a condition where there's the body overproduces insulin.
Yeah.
And what's the guy who writes Alan Partridge.
Steve Coogan?
What's his name? No, the fellow who writes and directs it with him. I can't remember his name.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, he's got it. And it will be type 2 hypoglycemia because it's just an incidence of low blood sugar. But not enough people are aware of that. So, of course, let's call it type 3 diabetes, and then it'll appear on more searches, it'll get more publicity, and hopefully more funding. And that's just a cynical way to go about conducting medicine, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with
type
that.
Type 3 diabetes is nothing that a diabetic has to worry about.
Only a hypoglycemic.
Well, possibly. I mean, it is something that they're currently investigating, and I'm not a doctor. For God's sake, try and prove me wrong. I'm up for being proven wrong, but at the moment, it seems like it's a very cynical way to name a condition, and it's confusing enough when people have no idea what type 1 and type 2 means. And pre-diabetic is the most patronizing thing I've ever heard.
There's
no such thing as pre-diabetic. It's just fat. If your doctor calls you pre-diabetic,
well, I'm pre-diabetic, Trev.
I'm a bit pre-diabetic myself, which is odd because I'm actually diabetic.
And I just thought I'd say, guys, you might want to pick up the Christmas issue of New Statesman.
Oh yeah,
guest edited by Richard Dawkins.
Correct, and
with the interview with Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah, and also just in case Trev was umming and ahhing when he got to the newspaper stand where to pick it up, there's also a preview of Sam Harris, and he's talking about the illusion of free will. So you might want to pick that up, Trev.
Good grief. We're not going to do another thing before Christmas, I recommend Louis C.K. has just released his latest hour-long stand-up show for $5 from his website. You can download it, and it's great.
Cool. Are you getting a cut of any of these sales then, or what?
No, it's just that he's not going through any big companies. He's not getting paid a fee and then charging people $20 for a DVD, and then if we want to get it, we have to buy region 1 or wait a whole year before it'll come out in region 2, that kind of shit. He's saying anyone in the world can pay by PayPal. $5 and it's yours. Download it, burn it to a DVD, whatever you want. And I just think the model of sales that he's establishing, cutting the business out of it is wonderful.
Mm.
And plus, he's really funny. And he says some dreadful, appalling things. He says at least two of some of the worst things I've ever heard. But listeners to this podcast should be able to deal with that.
I was going to say, yeah, worse than wheelchair rapists, Trev.
That sort of area.
Stupid girls from Newport who,
frying themselves in the bar. Yes.
Yeah.
And casual racism about Dr. Wang was real. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Okay, so let's wrap it up. Thanks very much, guys. And I'll see you, if not sooner, next year. So, thanks a lot.
Goodbye. Merry Christmas.
Cool.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, in the middle of last night, I woke up with this sudden urge to smoke and to drink and to fuck and to be right. I think it was the spirit of Christopher Hitchens entering my body. Okay, probably not. Although he did like to annoy strictly materialist people just by being contrarian and insisting that there's something else, but God knows what it is and we haven't really got a reason. I'm gutted to hear about the death of that magnificent bastard. Oh well. So there's no point in making any predictions about him. I have got one prediction for next year, because I just saw Bono on a Daily Show from a week or so ago, doing brilliant work for AIDS, but talking about male circumcision being a brilliant preventative measure. It's not a great leap to call Bono a bit of a tool. He does great work, but the studies that have been done have shown that just after circumcision, there's a drop in the incidence of HIV infection. Well, of course there is. For 3 months afterwards, it hurts too much to fuck. As the tests go on, the rates tend to equalize. But then, in all these studies, they've prematurely stopped the studies because they didn't want to show that the rates equalize. So clearly, they were just looking for an excuse to say that male circumcision is a good idea. So my prediction for 2012 is that that ridiculous idea is going to get some traction worldwide. And that I'm going to be a bit depressed about Hitch not being around and being gobby. That's going to be a bit sad, but at least there's another book of his out. Maybe that'll give us something to do. Oh well. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.